This is a business radio show where we talk about the craziness of small business. It's that craziness that actually makes it exciting, interesting, and totally unpredictable. This is Business Insanity Talk Radio with your host, Barry Maltz.
Well, thanks for joining this week's radio show, which is the final word in small business. For those keeping track, this is show number 387. This episode is provided by Nextiva, the answer to all your business communication solutions in the cloud. It's also provided by the Sage Summit, which is happening in Chicago on July 25th to 28th at McCormick Place. It's the largest conference for small and medium-sized businesses with speakers like Richard Branson, Gwyneth Paltrow, Zoe Deschanel, Ashton Kutcher, Damon John, and Robert Herjavec. Well, on today's show, as a prospective entrepreneur, when is the best time to leave the stability of your job and actually make that jump? Plus, want to supercharge the growth of your business? Today, we'll talk about the one factor that determines if your sales are going to go sky high or they're going to head straight to the basement. Plus, how to develop your company's own publicity campaign. Plus, Chelsea Cross is back. She's going to talk about what do millennials really want. But first, in my life, the UPS driver has always been synonymous with the word trust, not only because of their on-time delivery, but because it seems that those big brown trucks have always been there. On today's show, we have Ron Wallace, who's the former president of UPS International, where he was responsible for operations in more than 200 countries and territories. He's got a new book out called The Leadership Lessons from a UPS Driver. Ron, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
Well, tell us about your career a little bit. How'd you get to be UPS president?
I started out in Northern Idaho as a driver, like most all of our management people. And I worked my way through. I moved about 12 times, relocations with UPS at different positions and different rotations, and eventually became a member of the management committee. There was 9 or 10 of us that overseen the day-to-day operations of UPS, which was about 435,000 people. And my responsibility was president of UPS International. I had everything outside of the United States and then a couple of entities within the United States.
So tell us a little about the UPS culture, because I've never worked for UPS, but on the outside, it seems like a pretty cool place to work.
It is, and it is the culture that really started in 1907, and policies were written in the early days, and over the years, they've been enhanced somewhat, but not a lot. It's basically that same philosophy, that same principles that we operate with from the very beginning. And it's not rocket science. As I state in the book, Leadership Business, it's just a lot of small things done well. And it's determined people working together. We don't have any superstars. We don't have any heroes. We believe very strongly, and we live and die on integrity and honesty and doing the right thing and being held accountable for our actions. Then there's some of those other things. We measure everything. We have high standards. There's a method to do every single job in the company, to do it the most efficient, the safest way. We have a promotion within policy. We decentralize our management, so they are owners of the company and they have a small part of their business. So it, I guess in a nutshell, it's one big family. It's informal. It's open door policy. It's first name basis. And it's all those things that come together. And as you probably get the same question as I do, is if you can name one thing that makes the company successful, what is it? And I strongly believe it's people relationships, and that's what UPS is about. And you also mentioned, Barry, that drivers and our top management people, our executive committee, our CEOs, everybody in management goes through the hourly ranks. We have CEOs that start as part-time car washers, loaders, clerks. And even those very, very few exceptions outside of the promotion within, they still will go through the driver ranks because, as you mentioned, that's the heart of our business. The driver is UPS.
Right.
And that's the customer's friend, and that's who they believe in. But we believe that people that start in the organization and rise through the ranks are more committed, aligned, experienced than those from the outside. And we really promote within to pass on the culture, the legacy from generation to generation. And lastly, I'd say we invest in people who want a lifetime career, not a job.
And so, Ron, so most people start out as hourly folks. Why is that so important? Is it because they're closer to the customer and that really provides them to be a good leader later on?
Absolutely. They know the job. You can't get the wool pulled over your eyes, so to speak. You've done it. You've touched it. You understand what the driver goes through with the challenges. And it's not an easy job. It's hard work, and it's well rewarded for that hard work. But once you know the process and the procedures and all those methods I talked about, you have a good feel for it. You know what's going on in your night operation, so you work in a hub. You understand the car wash. There's a lot of pieces to the puzzle, and every single person is absolutely vital, whether it's the mechanic that keeps the cars running or the people that load an airplane to get packages flown to different destinations. Everybody counts, and, those people really represent the top leaders. They're a reflection of your beliefs. They're your eyes, ears, hands, feet out there doing it, because you can't be everywhere, and certainly you have to trust people, and you have to train them well, and get them on the same page and share that same vision. And I just add to that, Barry, that regardless, a lot of CEOs and top managers, although they may not admit it, really can do only one or two things really well. And back to the trusting your people and delegating is so critical, and then turn them loose and stay out of the way.
So tell us one of your favorite UPS stories that you really think represents the strength of the culture.
Towards the end of the book, I think I could have written this book on a postcard after I met with this division manager in the Philippines. And towards the end of my career, I visited the Philippines, where Clark Air Force Base, an operation that I was deeply involved in when we started, and we rebuilt Clark and we started operations there. But there's an air operations there of about 100-plus people, and somehow they are by far the best in the world at every single thing, whether it's production, safety, stability, on and on and on. We measure lots of things, but they are by far the best. So anyway, towards the end of my career, I was in Manila in this operation, and when I walked in, it was almost like a party-like atmosphere. People were happy. They were efficient. They were doing the job. And the division manager, Ed, took me on a tour. And I quickly understood why this is the best operation in the UPS system. Ed virtually introduced me to every single employee. He knew I'm on a first-name basis. Many times he'd say, oh, your dog had pups last week, and how are they doing? Or your wife had a baby, or, on and on. I mean, he knew them personally. And we walked through that hub, and you could just feel the respect for him. So it comes back to leadership, processes, procedures, methods, facilities, equipment. All that stuff is part of it, but it's kind of a given, if you will, because it's just an established way to do things. But it's people relationships. And so after we had ended the tour, I had Ed in the office. And I said, you got to tell me, Ed, what makes you so good, and what makes your operation so good? And in all the modesty in the world, he said, I believe in God, I believe in myself, I believe in my company, and I believe in my employees who just happen to be my best friends.
Wow.
And I thought, I could put that on a postcard.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's what leadership
absolutely.
Is about.
I got one more question to ask you with the 30 seconds we had left, because I've been dying to ask someone at UPS my whole life, why are the trucks chocolate brown?
That's actually Pullman brown, because even when bad weather and they get dirty, it doesn't show. It holds up very well, and it reflects our professionalism as a conservative company. We don't want a lot of flash, as you see on our uniforms, our drivers, or our vehicles.
Now I know why, because it's certainly it's very comfortable when I see the UPS truck, and I really keep thinking of your trustful brand. So I think all around it works really well.
That's exactly why they're that way.
So, Ron, where can people get a copy of the book, or if they want to get in touch with you?
They can get it on Amazon. They can get it in the, most of the larger bookstores. It's available in airports. Or they can go to our website, and that is leadershiplessonsbyronwallace.com.
And Ron, what are you doing with your time these days? Not still driving a truck, right?
I'm not. I'm actually a police officer here in a local town that I live in, and I have a media company based in Nashville. I'm a commercial developer, and I have three restaurants and two more under construction. I'm a martial arts instructor, and it goes kind of on and on.
Wow, you are one amazing guy, Ron. Thanks so much for being on the show.
Barry, thanks for having me.
The title of the book is called Leadership Lessons from a UPS Driver Delivering a Culture of We, Not Me. Coming up, think about starting your own business. Next, I'm going to tell you exactly when to make that jump. This is AM 560. The Answer will be right back.
Get from here to there? We've got the answer from the Guardian Security Services Traffic Center.
Good Sunday morning. I'm Mary DeBanges with a look at your roadways. Traveling in or out on the Edens, wide open. The Kennedy's a 20-minute trek into and out of the airport. No complaints on the Ike. Out on the Stevenson, little sticky from Central out to First Avenue. Crews are doing periodic full-on 15-minute lane closures until 7 a.m. From Lakeshore Drive out to 355, it's up to 41 minutes. Dan Ryan, wide open. This report is brought to you by Aid in Recovery.
Break the cycle of drug and alcohol addiction. Let Aid in Recovery help you take back your life. Call 800-549-2330. Call right now and start treatment today. Call 800-549-2330.
Partly sunny this morning, turning cloudy this afternoon, with PM thunderstorms likely. Some of them may be severe. Highs in the upper 80s. 70 downtown. Next update in 15 minutes on AM 560. The Answer.
You know, the world didn't stop while you slept. Get the first look at what's happening around the world and here at home.
Scene of a plane crash in the remote French Alps.
With Don't This Morning there. With Gordon
Bruce
Deal.
Told CNN that he will follow the text of the law.
It's the breaking news and business information you'll need to start your day.
Here now with a look at some of the stories we're following.
Each weekday morning, starting at 4, right before Chicago's Morning Answer with Dan and Amy at 5 on AM 560. The Answer.
Is your business stuck in a rut?
Wish you had the tools and know-how to unlock its full potential?
Head to Sage Summit, July 25th through 28th in Chicago for the tools, training, and connections that will help you get your business marching forward. Hear from visionary speakers like Sir Richard Branson, Gwyneth Paltrow, and the stars of ABC's Shark Tank. Sign up for mentoring with business leaders and industry experts. Register at sagesummit.com by July 15th for only $99 with promo code GETUNSTUCK. That's sagesummit.com. Get unstuck. See you there.
Thinking of starting your own business? Get on board for a crazy ride. Be the first person to tweet Barry at Barry Moltz and get a free copy of his book, You Need to Be a Little Crazy, The Truth About Starting and Growing Your Own Business. You will need the company. Thinking of starting your own business? Get on board for a crazy ride. Be the first person to tweet Barry at Barry Moltz and get a free copy of his book, You Need to Be a Little Crazy, The Truth About Starting and Growing Your Own Business. You will need the company.
This is Roger Michalski from Eagle Financial Publications. Are you a dividend investor? If so, let me tell you about a website that has just about every resource that a dividend investor could ask for. It's called dividendinvestor.com. We just launched a new and improved version of it, and there's nothing else like it. When you log on to dividendinvestor.com, you'll find screening tools plus an all-star ranking system to help you find the best dividend opportunities. There's a scorecard to track the dividends in your very own portfolio, plus time-sensitive updates so you'll be the first to know when dividends go up or go down, and so many other features. Be my guest. Log on for free today at dividendinvestor.com. Set up a portfolio and see how easy it is to work the dividend calculator. And be sure to take the website tour to discover all the other great benefits. I'm convinced dividendinvestor.com will pay dividends to your bottom line. Go to dividendinvestor.com now. Dividendinvestor.com.
AM 560, The Answer. Stick around and get your small business unstuck. More of Business Insanity Talk Radio with Barry Moltz. Now on AM 560, The Answer.
Well, a lot of you have always wanted your own business, but when is the best time to leave the stability of your job and make that big jump? Here to give us advice is Patrick McGinnis. He's a venture capitalist and private equity investor. He's built a diverse portfolio of investments, including fast-growing ventures in the U.S., Latin America, Europe, and Asia, including Ipsy, the world's largest online beauty community, Blue Smart, the inventor of the world's first smart connected carry-on suitcase, and Affinity, a big data company that is reinventing the call center. He's also the author of a new book. It's called The 10% Entrepreneur. Patrick, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Barry.
So that's always the critical question, Patrick, is when do I know it's the right time to quit the comfort of my day job and make that leap?
Right. It is. And I think the real challenge for people is that they may get some traction and their business is taking off a bit, but they're not at the point that they're certain that they can actually live off of it. And so, are you willing to give up that safety and security in order to do something that you're passionate about, but potentially have to, downsize your house or face a lot of risk?
Is some of that initial success, Patrick, illusionary? Because I find that either they're doing business with their relatives or they're doing business with a small set of early adopters that don't necessarily really reflect the true market yet.
That's definitely a risk. I think the other thing is that when you're an entrepreneur and you're trying something new, you are by nature excited about what you're doing. And so you will look for, sort of green shoots wherever you can find them. But that may not mean that you've actually built something that is sustainable, right? So it may be that, as you said, you see some examples, but these aren't things that are going to drive cash flow down the line.
So what advice do you give to budding entrepreneurs when the right time is, especially if they've perhaps got a family?
Right. So the advice that I give in my book, The 10% Entrepreneur, is all about this, is start things on the side while holding down your day job. And this allows you to test ideas and actually see if something works and is sustainable before jumping full time. And in fact, there are some statistics that show out of a study by the University of Wisconsin that people who start a business part-time are 50% more successful than people that jump in full time, simply because you can figure out if it works, you can figure out how sustainable it is before you make that leap. And the minute you make that leap, you kind of have a time clock on you. You have a certain amount of time you can afford to run that business, and so you put everything into one basket, which makes the whole thing a lot more riskier for you.
Now, some people say, Patrick, that you really don't know if a business is going to work until you go all in, that if you're just doing it part-time, you're not focusing all your energy on it. But what you're talking about is really the counter to that. You actually be more successful if you do it part-time and get it farther along, right?
Absolutely. That sort of mythology, and you see this a lot in the media and on shows like Shark Tank, is this idea that you have to, put everything
right.
into
the romance.
Exactly. And that's easy to say when you're a billionaire investing
exactly.
in companies. But I studied people all over the world on 10 countries on 4 continents who are doing precisely this, doing things on the side, and they oftentimes will wait to jump until the company is producing enough cash flow to actually pay them a living wage. And it works for them, and it's certainly an option that people should consider strongly.
What kinds of things should people learn, Patrick, doing this part-time?
So part-time allows you, first of all, to make mistakes in a low-risk environment, right? So if you really mess something up, fine, yes, you've made a mistake, but you've also still got the cash flow from your day job sort of coming in. But the other thing that you can do is you can slowly, slowly or quickly, depending on how much time you have, but you can try to build around you a team of people who are experts, who get what you're doing, who give you advice so that as you get bigger, you can maybe bring some of those people full time or you can continue to tap their knowledge. But you're not alone, but they sort of give you the expertise you need as you're building this business.
Because, Patrick, building up the team is really going to be key for your success because you just can't do it alone because then you just have a job, not a business.
Precisely. Freelancing is the new thing that we're doing in our country and in our global economy. But when you're building a business, it's all about ownership. And you want to find a way to build something sustainable where you're the owner. And you may have partners in that, but you're not simply billing by the hour, right?
Now, you also can learn during this period of time, Patrick, that maybe you're not cut out to be an entrepreneur because I don't think that everyone in this country should be a small business owner, regardless of what the seeming romance is behind it.
Right. There has been this, I call it Entrepreneurship, Inc. It's the industry of all the people who try to sell you things to convince you to become
right.
an entrepreneur, right? And those people have a vested interest in selling you this romantic notion when the dirty little secret is, a study out of HBS, Harvard Business School, shows that 75% of small businesses fail, right? And so if you figure out, even if you like doing it, before you get going. That's important, because what you don't want to do is throw everything into a small business just to wish that you were back at your old company working at your day job. I mean, that's a terrible place to be.
So what are some of the indicators that maybe this isn't for you versus this is for you?
Yeah, well, one thing about starting a company, and you know, people don't talk about these things, but number one, it's very stressful, right? Emotionally stressful. People who start companies have higher rates of depression and divorce. Also, financially, it can be very difficult. The average, in New York City, which is a pricey place to live, the average startup founder makes $50,000 a year, which is hard to live on in this city. And so those are the kinds of things you have to accept as part of the game and figure out, you know, am I willing to live with that level of stress? Am I willing to live on a low salary? The average startup, for example, if you're doing tech, takes 7 years to go from raising capital to selling a business. Are you willing to put in that 5 to 10 year commitment into building a business? Those are the questions, the hard questions to ask yourself. If you're comfortable with that and you believe in what you're doing, then by all means, go for it. But if you're not certain, you don't have to go full-time. You can do it on the side. That's really what I want to, you know, impart to your listeners.
It's funny you mentioned that stat, because I always say overnight success only takes 7 to 10 years.
I love that. So, yeah, that's good. I'm going to steal that from you.
Now, in the book, you talk about 5 types of 10% entrepreneurs. What are they?
So the 5 types of 10% entrepreneurs are angels, which are people who invest their capital into companies in exchange for ownership. Advisors, who are people who invest their time, so they get sweat equity. Then there are founders, people who start and run a business but do so on the side. Then there are aficionados, people who have a passion. You know, they love to cook or they love photography, and they build a business around that as a 10% entrepreneur. And finally, there is the 110% entrepreneur, which is somebody who is already an entrepreneur and uses 10% entrepreneurship to create diversification and upside, because they have a huge investment in the one business they're doing. And I encourage them, you know, don't put all your eggs in one basket. Try to diversify.
Well, let's talk about those a little bit, because I find one of the most interesting types of entrepreneurs are the person that has a hobby and want to make it into a business. And what I've seen is that transition sometimes, Patrick, can be very difficult.
Yes, it can be, because, you know, I think we oftentimes, we have things that we love to do. And I have a story in the book about a person who loves to cook. He loves it. He's a professional level chef. He's not willing to live the life of a chef, because being a chef is probably one of the hardest jobs out there. You're at the restaurant early in the morning. You're there late at night. You burn yourself all the time. But at the same time, my friend said, you know, I'm not looking for that, but I love to cook, and I want to do it professionally. I don't want to just cook for my family. I want to really be a practitioner. And so by being a 10% entrepreneur, he's able to work in a restaurant whenever he wants to, gets the good parts of the industry, but doesn't have to live with the lifestyle challenges. And I think that's what happens with people. They have a passion that they love to do 5 hours a week. Do you really love doing it 90 hours a week? That's the big question.
It's funny, because a friend of mine said, you know, I really want to open up a restaurant. And I said, well, why do you want to do this? He goes, because I love eating in restaurants. And I'm like, no, geez. Tony, it's not the same thing.
That'll be your last eating. The next time you'll be serving and cooking, right?
Exactly. What I also like about the 5 different types of entrepreneurs is you don't have to go all in as an entrepreneur. There's other ways to accomplish that goal if that's an interest, right?
Absolutely. The idea is you can start at 10%, and you may find that you invested in something or started something that really takes off, and you say, you know what, this is the one for me. And you may go 100% or even 110%, right? But you don't have to. And so there are millions of people all over the world. This is a movement that nobody has put a name to until now. But they're doing precisely this, and it gives them diversification and upside and makes their lives more interesting and teaches them what it is to be an entrepreneur, but in a sort of a low-risk, you know, environment.
And so, Patrick, just in the last few minutes we have, what has been the favorite small business that you've worked in and why?
So I have had the pleasure of investing with a bunch of companies that are just on the start and have taken off. And so I've been able to really look at a bunch of different industries, from real estate to e-commerce to – I even invested in a play in London. So we'll see how that goes after Brexit. But what the one that I get most excited about is this company called Ipsy, which you mentioned in the intro. And it's a business that started out – when I invested, it had no revenues at all, and now it's in the hundreds of millions. And the reason why I love that company is because it innovated in an industry, cosmetics, that needed innovation by using YouTube celebrities to reach customers. But more than that, I love the business because it's a business that, number one, every day when the team gets up, they put the customer first. It's all about serving the customer and creating a community. And I think when you build a business that's authentic to its users, you can see tremendous growth, and Ipsy has done that.
Well, Patrick, thanks for being on the show. The book is called The 10% Entrepreneur. Where can people reach you if they want more information?
So you can find me at patrickmcginnis.com, where you can take a quiz to see what kind of 10% entrepreneur you are. And you can find the book at Amazon and pretty much every bookstore you can find.
Patrick, thanks so much. Have a good day.
Thanks for having me.
Coming up next, how can you supercharge the growth of your small business? This is AM 560 The Answer. We'll be right back.
People are going to look back at credit cards like they look at cigarettes.
The Dave Ramsey Show.
When I was a kid, everybody smoked. All my parents smoked. Everybody on the street smoked. Everybody thought smoking was cool. All the magazine ads had somebody with a cigarette hanging out of their mouth. And now people figured out not only does it stink, it causes cancer. People die from it. And so it's become this thing that nobody wants to do, right? And so that's where the credit card is going to be in 20 years. People are going to look back and just look at how stupid it was financially.
Dave Ramsey. Weeknights starting at 7. Presented by Wintrust Community Bank on AM 560. The Answer.
Fox News Radio, I'm Carmen Roberts. Two more arrests connected to the Bastille Day terror attack.
And in one of those two places, police were pretty brutal about how they got in. They shotgunned the locks off the door. They held a 50-year-old woman who is not very well at gunpoint for 3 hours.
Sky News reporter David Bowden in Nice, France. The arrests today bring the total in custody to 7. In Baltimore, police arrest 65 Black Lives Matter protesters Saturday night for locking arms and blocking traffic on Interstate 83. And audiences in London get to see footage from the next Star Wars film and hear from some of the actors.
Like, we're making a film that's right touching my favorite movie of all time. But then if you're too respectful of it, that you dare not do anything new or different, take a risk, then what are you bringing to the table?
The film hits theaters December 16th. Fox News, we report, you decide.
Stuck in traffic? We've got the answer. From the Guardian Security Services Traffic Center.
Good Sunday morning. I'm Mary DeBanches with a look at your roadways. And Palatine Northwest Highway remains blocked at Baldwin because of an injury accident. A very light volume of traffic on all of the area expressways and tollways. Unless you're outbound on the Stevenson, stacked up from Central to First, where crews are doing periodic full-on 15-minute lane closures until 7 a.m. Through Grant Park, Columbus, Jackson, Balbo, Congress, all closed until 3 p.m. for the Rock and Roll Chicago Marathon today. This report brought to you by Jewel Osco. Shop Jewel's 3-day sale for fresh signature by Jewel Italian sausage or brats. 20-ounce package, just $1.99. Limit 4. California large red seedless grapes are 99 cents a pound. And select Yoplait yogurts are just 39 cents each. Limit 12. Sunny this morning, turning partly cloudy. Thunderstorms this afternoon, some of them may be severe. Highs in the upper 80s. Next update in 15 minutes on AM 560, The Answer.
You've already upgraded your cell phone to a smart device, which lets you use the internet to be more productive on the go. But what about your desk phone? Nextiva is a smart business phone system in the cloud. With a simple setup through an internet connection, you can soon have access to your office communications wherever you are. Stay seamlessly connected with clients and stay more mobile than ever before for just one low monthly cost. Give your business more than just a basic desk phone. Visit Nextiva.com or call 800-799-0600 to learn more today. Nextiva. Simplifying your business communications. Thinking of starting your own business? Get on board for a crazy ride. Be the first person to tweet Barry at Barry Moltz and get a free copy of his book, You Need to Be a Little Crazy, The Truth About Starting and Growing Your Own Business. You will need the company.
Are you stuck? Is this the year you finally grow your business and make more money? During Barry's many years of running his own company, he had to deal with the challenges of a business that just wasn't going anywhere. It was a painful realization. His business had flatlined, and he had no idea how to breathe new life into it. It was especially difficult for Barry since his customers were not getting the service he was so passionate about delivering. Second, he wasn't making any money. Finally, his business was sucking the life out of him. Do any of these sound familiar? Your sales won't budge in spite of your best efforts. You have few new leads for customers coming in and existing customers fading away. You're burned out and completely exhausted. It's no longer fun and your family suffers as well. If you're one of the millions of small business owners facing these problems every year, Barry has the answer. Check out BarryMoltz.com/unstuck to subscribe to his 6-part video series.
Sacrifice. When you have children, sacrifice just comes with the territory. You sacrifice a new outfit for a new baseball glove. You sacrifice a romantic getaway for summer camp. You sacrifice because you love your child and you want him or her to have every advantage. Let us help you lessen the sacrifice it takes to send your son or daughter to the finest private schools in Chicagoland by half. That's right. When you go to halfpriceschools.com, you'll find half-off tuition for some of Chicagoland's most reputable private schools, from preschool all the way through high school. And you won't have to sacrifice hours in the car either. Our partner schools are located across Chicagoland. Chances are, there's one near you. You want the best for your child. You're willing to sacrifice. And here at AM 560 The Answer, we're ready to help you with half-price tuition for private schools. Explore your options today at halfpriceschools.com. That's halfpriceschools.com.
AM 560, The Answer. Now, back to Business Insanity Talk Radio. It's time to get your small business unstuck on AM 560, The Answer. Once again, here's Barry Maltz.
Well, are you ready to supercharge your business? Joining us now is Kelly Rhodes. She's the host of the top-rated podcast, Unstoppable Success Radio, and also an international best-selling author. As a former NFL cheerleader and Fortune 500 executive, she was promoted 7 times in 8 years. She's got a new book. It's called Unstoppable, 9 Principles for Unlimited Success in Business and in Life, which has reached international bestseller status in 11 countries in 31 categories. Kelly, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks so much for having me. Excited to be here.
So you're promoted 7 times in 8 years. Did you have to move each time?
That I was. No, I actually didn't have to move. It's actually one of the reasons why I picked the company that I did when I started off my career, because they're located all throughout the country, all throughout the world. There was hundreds of offices. And so I was actually in driving range to a lot of them. However, as I started getting promoted and moving up, I did spend a lot more time, you know, in hotel rooms and on planes and on trains and that kind of thing up and down the East Coast.
I do that every single week. So a lot of small business owners, they really want to accelerate their growth. They've got a good business going, but they don't really know how to do it. Where do you start?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, the first thing is to really analyze where your time is going. The biggest thing that I find keeps small business owners stuck is that, you know, the vast majority of their time is dedicated to nonprofit producing activities, if you want to kind of term it. It's things that are not connected with your bank account. And when you're focusing the majority of your time and energy and you know, focus on things that don't produce profit for your business, you tend to work harder and harder and get less and less.
Yeah, they absolutely get stuck. And also, I find, and reading through your book, it says, you know, people really don't charge what they're worth, and they don't charge enough really to make a profit. Why is that such a big problem?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it's a huge problem, Barry, because most businesses start off in the one-to-one capacity. So whether you're a service-based business and you're providing coaching or consulting or speaking services or, you know, a product, or you're a service-based business, you have a product, you're starting off in the beginning and you actually have to service the client. You know, you're in the beginning, you're not scalable, which means that the only way that you'll ever get to a place where you can springboard into a scalable model and afford the advertising, the resources, the team, the support that you're going to need to get there, it's very, very important that you charge what you're worth, because otherwise what happens, Barry, is people try to sell themselves on price to win the business, and then basically they end up digging themselves a hole they can't get out of because they can barely work fast enough to service the business they have, which leaves absolutely no time, no energy for marketing and vision and putting strategy and systems in place to automate the business and leverage your time. So you kind of build yourself into a jail cell if you don't charge what you're worth.
Yeah, and I also find that people are also afraid of rejection, right? And they feel that having some work, even if it's not profitable, is better than no work. But to me, Kelly, if the work's not going to be profitable, then why are you in business?
Right. Exactly. That's exactly it. You know, it's feeling like you have to take this because it's the only thing you have in front of you right now, when in reality, you'd be much better off saying, you know, I'm going to spend those couple hours going out and marketing to people that value what I'm selling and understand the quantifiable impact of what I'm selling and are going to be worth, you know, willing to pay for it. And that's going to bring in 3 or 4 times, you know, what this other person is going to.
And I think that's one of the important principles you talk about in your book, Unstoppable, 9 Principles for Unlimited Success in Business and Life, is that you really want to attract these premium clients. Not every person has to be your client. In fact, if they're a problem client and you can't make any money on them, you just send them to your competitor.
Exactly. Yeah, and I think knowing that, you know, it's very easy to get overwhelmed, you know, in entrepreneurship or in running a small business. But when you really take a step back and gain some perspective, it doesn't take that many customers to get to the first 100,000 mark. It doesn't take that many customers to get the $1 million mark in your business. We get so overwhelmed in the day-to-day running of the business that we lose sight of the fact that you don't need everyone to be your customer, but you do have to work on marketing yourself effectively, positioning yourself as credible with a level of authority, and not accepting less than you're worth, so that you can, you know, create each of those stepping stones that are going to lead you to your ultimate goal.
Now, I know that you're a big believer in rituals. What rituals should small businesses own practice so they can be more productive and get the stuff done they need to?
Yeah, absolutely. So what I recommend is an exercise that'll take you about 2 minutes to do each day around your productivity. And I call that the ADOD exercise. And that is, what can I automate? What can I delegate? What can I outsource? And what can I get rid of altogether? What can I delete? And, you know, what I find is I have people come to me, Barry, at all different levels, from startup through multimillion-dollar firms that want help growing their business. And, you know, obviously for me, I'm a business growth strategist, so my passion is around helping people put the roadmap in place and put the action steps in place to create that growth. And almost every time, Barry, I find that I get pulled right back into how the business owner is spending their time. Because typically they're so filled up with tactical to-dos and operational running of the business and things that they really shouldn't be doing, that there's no time for the strategic vision. There's no time for, you know, the marketing and the selling and, you know, the team building and management that's required to build a business of substance.
Kelly, I got to leave it right there. We're out of time, but thanks for being on the show.
You got it.
This is AM 560 The Answer. We'll be right back.
Get from here to there? We've got the answer from the Guardian Security Services Traffic Center.
Good Sunday morning. I'm Mary DeBadges with a look at your traffic. In Palatine, Route 14, that's Northwest Highway, blocked at Baldwin because of an injury accident. Hop on to Dundee, that's Route 68, to skirt around that closure. On Chicago's west side, Warren Boulevard, closed between Ashland and Ogden because of the Pitchfork Music Fest. And happening in Grant Park today, it's the Rock and Roll Chicago Half and 10K marathons. And because of that, a lot of the streets are closed throughout the South Loop. Michigan Avenue is closed between 16th and 14th Streets. Also in Grant Park, Columbus is closed. Balbo, Jackson, Congress Parkway also closed east and west between Michigan Avenue and Columbus. And they're all slated to reopen come 3 o'clock this afternoon. Today's sunny in the morning, turning partly cloudy. Thunderstorms likely this afternoon, a high of 89. 70 downtown. Next update in 15 minutes on AM 560, The Answer.
You've already upgraded your cell phone to a smart device, which lets you use the internet to be more productive on the go. But what about your desk phone? Nextiva is a smart business phone system in the cloud. With a simple setup through an internet connection, you can soon have access to your office communications wherever you are. Stay seamlessly connected with clients and stay more mobile than ever before for just one low monthly cost. Give your business more than just a basic desk phone. Visit Nextiva.com or call 800-799-0600 to learn more today. Nextiva. Simplifying your business communications. Get a copy of Barry's new book, BAM, where he shows how social media and our self-service world has rewritten all the rules of customer service. The best marketing now is BAM, good customer service. Be the first to tweet Barry at Barry Moult and get a free copy of the book.
With Barry's 25 years in small business, he has finally discovered the magic formula to make more profit at any company. Business gurus make it sound so complicated, but it's really simple. The formula is P times P equals P. P times P equals P, where people multiplied by process means more profit. Learn how you can take a quantum leap in just 180 days to grow the profit in your business. Contact Barry at barry@maltz.com. That's barry@maltz.com.
For decades, maybe even centuries, entrepreneurs have been recognized for being the biggest player in the industry. But no one recognizes the folks who have the courage to challenge industry norms. Well, that's what the Rule Breaker Awards is about. And you can vote for the biggest Rule Breaker right now. Go to RuleBreakerAwards.com. That's RuleBreakerAwards.com to vote for the entrepreneur you think is the biggest Rule Breaker. That's RuleBreakerAwards.com.
AM 560, The Answer. Stick around and get your small business unstuck. More of Business Insanity Talk Radio with Barry Maltz. Now on AM 560, The Answer.
Well, I find in small business, there's one question that's on the lips of almost every owner. What do these millennials really want? To help with this question, I want to welcome back to the show Chelsea Cross. At 16, Chelsea created a radio talk show, Teen Talk Live, which led it to success that started producing and appearing in spots first on local news and a national news outlet. At 25, Chelsea's now an accomplished speaker, published author, television, radio talk host, executive producer, certified health coach, and entrepreneur. Chelsea's most popular weekly event is her hashtag Millennial Talk Twitter chat every Tuesday at 8 o'clock that generates up to 45 million impressions in 1 hour. And Chelsea's going to be joining me at the Sage Summit at the end of July. Chelsea, welcome back to the show.
Thank you. Hey, Barry. How you doing?
I'm doing well. All right. So what do millennials really want?
Oh, isn't that the golden question? Well, you know, in regards to the millennials, you know, at first you're talking about marketing, talking about understanding consumer behavior. You really have to understand the millennial mindset, right? You know, how do you market to some demographic of people if you don't really understand the mindset of the people? And millennials really are, you can't put them in this one-size-fits-all category. We're incredibly entrepreneurial. We're very philanthropic. We're very liberal. We like to think outside the box. We have resources at our fingertips that we didn't have in previous generations. And millennials are also in this very interesting nut. So you have this generation, it's about 80 million people strong in the country. And we also have the largest combined spending power, but we're also incredibly in debt as a generation. So the average millennial today graduates with about $30,000 worth of student loan debt. And that student loan debt and the way that we're going into our adult selves is really like creating this ripple effect on how we make purchases and make decisions for big items. So, to wrap it up into 60 seconds is a hard thing. That's why we'll talk about more of the millennial mindset in the Sage Summit presentation. But for anyone who thinks that every millennial is the same, you clearly don't understand the millennial being.
So how do I really figure out, if I've got a series of millennials working at my company, and let's say I'm a boomer, how do I figure out what their motivation is and how I can best serve them so they serve our company and get behind our culture?
Absolutely. I love that question. You know what the honest answer is? Speak to them. Ask them. Get them involved. Let them voice their opinion. Ask them what they like, what they don't like. Millennials will tell you what they like if you give them a forum, if you give them an opportunity. Millennials like to feel like they're a part of the creation, a part of the process, a part of the making. If they feel that they've helped create the strategy, the plan, the rollout to get to the end goal, they will be that much more loyal to stick with you until that goal is met. And then when that goal is met, the camaraderie that creates around the workplace and the workplace culture is, you know, just obviously a big thumbs up there. But millennials, you know, a lot of people talk down about millennials, that we're narcissistic, that we're lazy, that we're entitled. And of course, 80 million people, you're going to have that section within the large population. But really, we feed off this entrepreneurial spirit. We want to create our own success. We want to do good. Sometimes we just don't know how to communicate our way to get there. So with baby boomers who are, you know, managing millennials, it has to be a two-way dialogue. And if you start to create that two-way dialogue and create that conversation, you'll really start to see the millennials, one, become more loyal, become more optimistic about their place within your culture, and also work that much more happy to get to that end goal. It's, you know, it's not talking down. It's not having your own opinion prior to getting to know them. Get to know them, communicate, conversate. Let them help you create that plan. They'll feel that much more likely to actually implement it themselves.
Chelsea, I never really understood how this whole thing got started, that millennials were somehow different than every other generation, because I think that every generation is different, don't you think?
Totally. I totally agree. I mean, you know, every generation has its own being. Every generation is also obviously influenced by the time. You know, millennials were really the 9/11 generation. 9/11 changed the world forever. We're also the generation that grew up under the lens of technology for the first time with dial-up internet to the handy-dandy smartphone. We also have the power to create our own brand, create our own business, create our own community, thanks to social media that nobody had generations ago, even 10 years ago. We are new, and because we have so many new resources available, we're obviously going to be a little bit different or beat to our own drum. I think baby boomers who aren't as social savvy or aren't as familiar with the social landscape or even the millennial lingo, I do think we have a different language because of all the techie tools and new terms that are today, like micro content, influencers, social media content calendars, analytics, hashtags. These are all new terms that are so foreign to baby boomers who might be out of touch with social media. So I think for baby boomers who aren't as social savvy or aren't as aware with the millennial lingo, they immediately feel threatened by this generation and kind of put a barrier up.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, within the workplace, Barry, it's that reverse mentorship. Let the baby boomers who are obviously have the experience in the workplace, you know, teach the millennials something about that. Let the millennials teach them something about technology and social media. Two-way dialogue. Everybody's benefiting. Symbiotic relationship. You know, don't look at anyone as a threat or competition. We're all working towards the greater goal under the same workplace. So let's infuse that mindset, and you will see the ignition of passion amongst your millennial employees.
Well, Chelsea, we look forward to seeing you at Sage Summit, which is coming up July 20th and 28th, right here in Chicago, McCormick Place. It is the largest conference for small and medium business owners. Can't wait to hear you speak.
Thank you so much, Barry. See you soon.
Chelsea, thanks for being on the show. Coming up, how to generate publicity for your business but not hire a PR firm. This is AM 560 The Answer. Be right back.
Is your business stuck in a rut?
Wish you had the tools and know-how to unlock its full potential?
Head to Sage Summit July 25th through 28th in Chicago for the tools, training, and connections that will help you get your business marching forward. Hear from visionary speakers like Sir Richard Branson, Gwyneth Paltrow, and the stars of ABC Shark Tank. Sign up for mentoring with business leaders and industry experts. Register at sagesummit.com by July 15th for only $99 with promo code GETUNSTUCK. That's sagesummit.com. Get unstuck. See you there.
The biggest trap business owners face is that they are continually flip-flopping their time between working for customers and selling to find new business. As a result, when you are doing the work, the sales activity slows
to a crawl.
This double helix trap keeps businesses struggling for years.
Years.
Learn the 7 strategies for breaking this trap. Contact Barry at barry@barrymoltz.com.
Hey, sorry I'm late. I'm the chair for the company picnic committee, and I'm overwhelmed with finding the perfect catering partner.
Don't be freaked out by that. Tasty Catering has done our company picnic every year for the last 5 years. I actually went to Tasty Catering's kitchen first to taste the food. They serve juicy burgers right from the grill, fresh salads, awesome sides, and fun foods for the kids. Last year, we even had delicious brisket and an entire pig roast.
Can they handle all the details? There's not much time to plan.
Planning was even easier. Tasty Catering handled every detail, from serving pieces to inflatables for the kids, the DJ, and of course, the bar area.
That's exactly what we're looking for.
Just go to tastycatering.com. The pricing was right, and our CFO signed off on the contract immediately.
The best company picnics start at tastycatering.com. View picnic menus and locations, entertainment options, and more. That's tastycatering.com.
AM 560, The Answer. Now, back to Business Insanity Talk Radio. It's time to get your small business unstuck on AM 560, The Answer. Once again, here's Barry Maltz.
Most small business owners know that the cheapest and best marketing option is typically media publicity, but most of them can't afford to hire a PR firm. So what's the best thing to do? Here to help is Kristen Marquette. She's the creative director of Creative Development Agency, a full-service lifestyle public relations firm in New York City. She's the author of a book called Squash Your Competition and Dominate Your Marketplace, 55 Easy Tips to Generate Big Publicity for Your Startup or Small Business. Kristen, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me this morning.
So a lot of small business owners, I guess, make the mistake early on hiring a PR firm, paying a huge monthly retainer, and they really can't afford to sustain that PR firm so it actually generates results. What should you be doing instead?
Great question. And any small business owner, the best way to connect with a media professional is to, you know, go on Twitter, find out what beats they cover. And then from there, just draft a very short and succinct pitch. You know, it only needs to be two paragraphs, but the language that you use should match up with the tone and the style of the publication that you're trying to pitch. And my suggestion for small business owners who are starting out to do their own PR, you should always start with local media, because local media, they absolutely love covering small businesses, even if you're an online store. You know, say you're an online fashion retailer or beauty retailer, and you're based in, I don't know, Grand Rapids, Michigan. Even though you have a national and international presence, the local media is going to be more likely to pick you up and to do a story on you. And then once you kind of get the feel for the way that the media works and what is considered newsworthy, then you can kind of roll out to national media. But I always urge small business owners to start locally and then build your portfolio and then expand regionally and nationally. And the best way, like I said, to connect with an editor is through finding out what their contact information is, sending them a short email, and building that relationship. You never want to call an editor or producer because they're going to hang up on you, because they don't know who you are, and they don't know what you can offer in terms of value. And that's really the best way to start the publicity process.
And Kristen, how often should you be contacting these people?
Great question. So if you end up sending an email to an editor at a local publication and they don't end up responding, you can follow up a couple days later. And if you don't hear back from them, then maybe a week later after that. If you haven't heard back from them after three different emails, then you know what? You're probably not the right fit for any stories that they're working on. But you know what? In a month, you can send them a new angle or a new pitch. But like I said, you want to limit your communication to three times with the same angle and the same follow-ups. And if you do any more than that, you're going to piss the journalist off. And that's not a good way to start a relationship with them.
No question. Kristen, thanks for being on the show. If you want to reach Kristen, it's www.creativedevelopmentagency.com. Kristen, thanks so much.
Thank you so much for having me.
And thanks all of you for joining us on this week's radio show. I want to thank our sponsors, Sage Summit and Nextiva. I also want to thank our incredible staff here at Station, especially our booking producer, Sarah Schaffrin, our in-studio producer, Debbie Schreiner, our marketing manager, Courtney Dury. If you're serious about being successful this year, you got to do one thing. You got to give me a call on my private line, 773-837-8250, or you can email me at barry@maltz.com. Isn't this the year that you get your small business unstuck? Isn't this the year that you finally make the money that you deserve? Remember, love everyone, trust a few, and paddle your own canoe. Have a profitable and passionate week.
You can find Barry on the web at barrymaltz.com. You've been listening to Business Insanity Talk Radio.
When elderly family require